Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Trotten's den Regen auf mein Kopf. Pink wie ein Deckelbus ist die kleine Fahre dem Kopf. Geht mir kein Sach mit. Die Trotten.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold. Ding. And this week we have part two of my interview with really just an extraordinary person, Margie Haber, who I hope you enjoyed part one. She's really fascinating. And there's a lot of interesting stuff in part two. This is what I'm doing. I know it's the beginning. I'm putting my dates out. Because I need to fill the seats with the dates. And, you know, I do post on Twitter, but it's really, I don't know, like I'm having such agita about the hate speech on Twitter. And I really can't stand Elon Musk. He's just like a fucking spoiled brat who came to the playground and has to ruin everyone's time and be a fucking bully. It's just, and with the anti-Semitism is really fucking pissing me off and all the hate speech. So I'm just doing my dates just so I get them out. December 14th. It's December 14th. I'm at the Chosen Comedy Festival in Miami Beach. The 15th, though, I'm going to Boca. So please come see me at the Boca Black Box in Boca Raton, Florida. Oh, I didn't do a one for the Chosen Comedy Festival. It's all Jews. So, Boca Black Box on, I think it's a Thursday. It is a Thursday night at the Boca Black Box in Boca. And then I'm doing a Very Judy Christmas on the 25th in New York City at Stand Up New York. And then January 21st, the Sellersville Theater in Pennsylvania, And one of our podcast guests will be opening for me. Kristen Michelle, is it Kirsten? Kirsten Michelle Sills, who's fucking, I love her. She's really funny. And then January 26th to 6th, January 26th to the 28th, through the 28th at the Comedy Loft in Washington, D.C. And I'll be in Avenel, New Jersey, right by where I grew up on February 4th at the Avenel Performing Arts Center. So anyway, those are my dates. So I'm going to say them again at the end because I have to use the platforms, people. Anyway, so it's been quite a week. Like I am 60, as we all know, because I had my birthday. And then I'm also like really upset about what's happening. Like, I don't know how Alex fucking Jones still has a platform. And everyone keeps reporting about Alex Jones, Kanye, the fucking who walks around without his face covered. Like, I can't stand these fucking people. They're so anti-Semitic. Nick Fuentes, he's 24 years old. Like, where's his family? He's 24. You think he's not enjoying every fucking moment of this shit? Ugh, I can't. And that Lauren Boebert one, I can't. It's just, I don't know if anyone else is feeling the same way, but yeah. So that's that. I don't like the cold. I really, you know, I always said, I'm never going to go to Florida. I'm never going to, you know, not have seasons. I really like having seasons. I like, changing my closet. I don't like it anymore. I don't. I really, does anyone else feel that way? I just want it to be the same weather every day. I'm getting old. I'm really feeling the elderly inside of me, but I'm still very immature. I'm very immature. What else is going on? I don't know. I am writing thank you notes now for all my beautiful, I got some really unbelievable gifts, I always feel a little guilty with the gifts because there's so many. I know this is so vomit. You're going to vomit. So if you're eating, I'm just letting you know you're going to vomit. But I do feel like so many people have nothing. And I, you know, even though I have one bathroom, I do have a beautiful Mont Blanc pen now from Elise's parents. And I fucking love it. And I'm just using it all the time. And no one's allowed to touch it. Even though I noticed that Elisa came in my into my office / other bedroom and used my pen and wrote in my notebook. But she did write, I love you, Judy Gold, with a heart. So she's not getting in trouble, but no one else is touching my pen. Okay, so I don't know what else to tell you. I'm cold. I hate everyone. It's the usual shit. And I'm telling you right now, because I'm pre-recording this, I'm going for my skin check to make sure I don't have any sun damage, which is something everyone should do. So listen, I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. And I want you to enjoy part two of my conversation with Margie Haber. I love you.
Should we go to my 30s and let you know about
okay,
that?
So you're now in your 30s. Everyone, let's try to... Marge is now in her 30s. Okay.
Okay.
So you stay out there.
You didn't ring the bell.
March is in. But so once you got this job and you settled in, did your life calm down and become more normal?
You mean outside of the show business thing?
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Well, I lived with Mary.
Because you weren't working in the beginning, right?
I wasn't working. Yeah. So June, July, August. The whole summertime, I was not working, and I lived with her, and that was the epitome of what everyone wishes Hollywood could be. That's the Hollywood story, you know?
Right.
That is quite something. But then in September, I think it was around November, I moved out and found a roommate that I found from an acting class I took. And then I became friends with Sherry Lansing. You know Sherry Lansing?
Oh, yes.
Jewish.
Yes, and Bette
because
did
she was
that
in
show.
My class.
Yeah,
the irony of the whole thing. I got to say, the irony of the whole thing is Sherry Lansing. It's worth mentioning because what a woman she. I met her when she was in class. She was an actress. Both of us were acting, and we really connected really well. And years later, she became president of 20th Century Fox and president of Paramount Studios. And when I wrote my first book, which is right here. How to Get the Part Without Falling Apart. That was my first book 20 years ago, 23 years ago. I had called her up to see if she would
put a
write something
blurb
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. anyway, but I called her and I had not spoken to her maybe in 15 years. Okay. That day I get a call that I left a message in the morning. That day I hear, "Hello, Margie." "Yeah, it's Sherry." Sherry. No secretary. No, excuse me, Sherry. Right, Nancy wants to call you. I mean, the woman is the president at that moment.
Right.
The president of Paramount Studios. "Margie, I am so proud of you for, I cannot believe that you wrote this fantastic book." I'm like thinking, is she kidding me? She's proud of me? I said, "How can you say that? You're the head of a..." Yes, yeah. "But you are, you know, you're so wonderful." It was such an incredible human being. And so that was my
and so Hamish, speaking of
so Hamish. Hamish, thank you, Hamish. Yeah. It's so sweet. So anyway, that was what came out with that. And then,
here's another moment of pinching yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was just pretty. I'll tell you, the thing is, Judy, I wrote this book, Fuck Your Comfort Zone, because that's my life story. I've always preferred to be out there and be hurt. I say to people in my book, I talk about my fear, and this probably, I might say maybe yours as well, is that I'm going to be invisible.
Irrelevant. Yes.
Most people's fear are they're going to be visible. They would rather stand on the sidelines. Well, I am 4,000% afraid of not being seen. So that's why when my book says, you know, it says, "Fuck your comfort zone, take a risk and become the lead in your own life."
Right.
That means taking a risk, be risk to be seen is very, very hard for many people, not for us.
Right.
We, you know, we want to be seen, and being invisible is scary to me.
It's the worst.
So that's what has affected me my whole life. So when the pandemic came and I wrote my book, it was really a time for me to think, how have I changed and grown all these years? And the big growth is that now I teach everything and do everything with empathy and curiosity.
Right.
Everything in my life is all about, I'm curious to know what makes you tick. And I'm empathetic about how you live your life.
That is why I do
Margula.
That is why I do this podcast.
Me too. Me too.
I make no money.
Have you listened to my podcast? We got to listen to my podcast.
No, I'm going
to
do it. I'm going to listen to your podcast. I make no money, but I think I'm so fascinated by people and their stories, doing, not what they're working on. No. Yeah. Who are you and why are you where you are right now? Like
that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the same exact thing.
There are things that I have to talk about. Number one, when you were an actor, I hate actress. I have to tell you, I am now so averse to comedian. Like that is like a knife in my back. I am averse to genderizing, especially comedian, because of all the shit I had to put up with as a woman in the 80s, 90s. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm a comic as much as, all right. So anyway, these are things I have to know.
Okay.
I don't even care if the people listening give a shit, but that you were on Barnaby Jones. I love that show. And Emergency. And you were on Emergency. I mean, this is the shit I grew up watching.
Okay. I didn't think the podcast would be this good. I knew it would be good, but I never knew we'd become best friends from it. Judy, I'm coming. I'll be in New York next week, hopefully.
I need you. I'm writing a show and I'm in a fucking writer's block shit.
They have to give me a cell phone number afterwards.
Oh, Margela, best friends. Go ahead.
Unfucking believable.
Okay. Barnaby.
Well, you know, it was the very beginning. I had no idea what I was doing. I think I had one or two lines. I was so freaking scared. I think I was a receptionist. I had to say,
"Yes,
hi, Barnaby Jones' office. Hi, Barnaby Jones." I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I was so scared. But the funniest thing of all was my first TV show. Okay, it was Matt Lincoln. It was Ben Casey, the guy Ben Casey, Vince Edwards.
Yes,
he did another show called Matt Lincoln. So I want to tell you the story. It's so funny. I'm going to show it to you. So Vince Edwards. It was my first TV show. I'd never done anything before. I was a teacher. What can I say? That was me. All I had to do was walk down the outside to the bleachers with another with the star of the show, Julie Gregg. This is what happened. I'm walking. I'm so nervous. They said, and action. And I'm walking really fast, really fast. And the director says, cut. Margie, not Margula, by the way. Margie, you're walking a little too fast, okay? Can you just slow it down? Walk slow. Okay, no problem. I'll walk slowly. Okay. And action. So slow. So cut. Margie, you're walking a little slow. Yes, can you pick it up? Yeah, pick it up. So this woman felt so sorry for me, the star.
The lead, yeah.
Yeah. Julie says, just let's have a conversation. And okay. So how have you been, Margie? Good. So what do you do? And it was natural because I didn't have to worry. I wasn't
right.
The you were critical parent.
Words. Right.
And the fearful child were not operating. The voices were low. All I could hear when I was walking, am I doing it right? What does he want me to do? Critical parent. Oh my God. What if I do it wrong? Soon as I got to the funny part about it, really, it was so funny, was I'm sitting there on the bench and Vince Edwards, Judy, and I were doing the scene and he was looking, what he did is he had his paper right underneath. So he never memorized and he never looked at my eyes. He looked at right in between in my right, the frown here area. Right. And it was like, I couldn't even believe this guy.
Talk about no connection.
Whatsoever. So that was that. You know, that was, Emergency was really fun because Emergency.
Oh, that show I love that show.
So I've got to find it and send it to you. You'll be cracked.
I have to.
So it was my friend Paul Ryan, who was Jewish. His name was Bernie Feldman. He also passed away a couple of years ago. But Paul and I were a team. We did a lot of comedy together and we emceed together and did all these things. And so we were actually cast together as husband and wife to play these couple whose dog was stuck on the roof.
Oh,
all right. It was so hilarious because I was a terrible actress. I mean, I was trying to show all the time.
Right,
I didn't understand
it. Oh, but yes. Okay.
I mean, it's terrible. I should say I was a nerd. Later on, I think I became better. It's actually not true. It was terrible, but I was terrible in this particular thing. But it was saying, so I had to just go, you know, so he falls off the roof. Paul, we have to get to emergency to right. And I'm saying, it was, me yelling for my dog and to come back and all these scary things. It was absolutely hysterical. Actually, later, I actually got to say that I was up for the Daughter of Maud. It was she myself and Adrian Barbeau. Did you know that?
Okay. First of all right. I just need to, take that in. You know that. First, and Adrian Barbeau. I just want to say that is who I thought I would be. That is.
Stop it.
No, I thought I was going to be Maud when I got older. I thought I'm going to have a series. Yeah. Be Arthur. First of all, my mother resembled her. I used to have a joke about my mother because my mother, she got her cataracts removed and they gave her, this is such an old joke, but they gave her these sunglasses to wear to protect her eyes from the sun for four to 6 weeks after the surgery. And the joke was that she still wears them. She wore them for years. She thinks they're attractive. She looks like Bea Arthur as a welder. Okay. And so I used to, and the company that made the glasses heard that joke and sent me numerous pairs to give to my mother. And the funnier part is I had a cataract removed last year and I still wear my cataract glasses. But, you know, Maud to me, I mean, all those sitcoms, but that one in particular, this brash, loud Jewish woman who didn't take any shit, sarcastic. That's what I thought. And I love I can't believe you were up for the daughter. So it was between.
Okay, well, let me tell you the story because you're going to love it. I can't believe that would happen. This is so crazy. Let me just take a breath here to believe how many things we have in common.
I can't take it. And breathe.
That's huge. Okay. So here's the story. I was 24 or something like that. I didn't know what I was doing, but I didn't really care. So I don't know how I transitioned into not caring after that horrible show, but whatever happened, something changed. And I went to, and I auditioned for Jane Murray, who was casting at the time for Norman Lear. And I did this, oh, by the way, Norman Lear, by the way, is, he wrote a whole wonderful thing in my book.
I love him.
Anyway, so I really did well, and they gave me a call back. And then I did, and that was it, and I didn't hear anything. And then I went to Italy, because my friend, backup, Julie Gregg, the one who helped me in the very beginning.
Oh, yes, with not the walking. Jewish, yeah.
Mm-hmm, was in the movie Man of La Mancha in Italy. It's another great story. Man, you're going to die when you hear this. So she invited me to go. I went to see her when you're shooting Man of La Mancha in a cave with Peter O'Toole and Sophia Loren.
No.
I am invited for dinner to sit only at this little dinner at the rest at Saul Chaplin, the musician, the guy who wrote the music, Jewish, with Saul, myself, Peter, myself, Sophia, Arthur Hiller, and Julie. That was our dinner.
What? So I can't. What the fuck? They should do a book of all your dinners, and a photographer or someone puts the tables together.
Well, that is supposed to be this would be my next book. This is the book. Okay. I mean, but you and I can talk about it. So anyway, because there's so many wonderful stories. So check this out. So I'm 24 years old. I don't know, care. I don't know. I'm just shocked. I'm sitting there once again between the most two gorgeous people you've ever met. Peter O'Toole at that time, unfucking believe, brought out my 60% heterosexuality.
60?
65. Barbara, depends who you are talking about. And then Sophia Loren, oh my God, magnifique.
I can't.
So they said, well, what do you do? What did they do? Well,
she brought out your 100% lesbianism. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
20.
Yeah.
And she said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a singer, because I was singing at the time. And I sang her teacher, blah, blah. Oh, I said, do you want to hear a song in front of everyone?
No, you did not.
This is what I did. I got up in front of everybody, in front of this small little dinner place. And I went, rock-a-bye, your baby, with a giving melody. I mean, when you croon a tune from the heart of Dixie, hang your man. I mean, I was like.
Were you wasted?
I just had no filters.
Inhibitions. Oh, wow. That's
no inhibitions.
Yeah.
I had no inhibitions. I was crazy. I mean, it was like, do whatever. Luckily, they thought it was cute, but it was really, whoever would do such a thing. So I went back to end the story. I went back to LA, and right afterwards, I get a call that they want me to do a screen test for.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one question. How the goodbyes at that dinner, were they like, and bye, nice meeting you.
I just think that they thought they got a kick out of me. Who does things like that?
No.
I think they got a kick out of me.
Okay. No?
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin, and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
After having this fucking experience,
so
you get home.
The problem. Yeah. I had gained 25 pounds on pasta in those 3 weeks I was there.
You did not.
I was huge. I gained a lot of weight, 25 pounds. So Norman Lear put me on HCG shots. They had shots for pregnant women that help you lose weight. And I had to lose all this weight to do it. Now, the big story comes, Judy. This is the big story.
Does it work, the shots?
Yeah, I lost.
So wait, let's go back. They gave shots.
They told me to put me on these shots. I don't know if they gave
to women, but at that time they gave
to lose weight. Yeah,
for pregnant women to lose weight.
No, it's something. I think it's called HCG shots or something like that.
Okay,
it's got pregnant stuff in it. I don't know.
Okay, got you.
It's something they gave me that made me lose weight. So I was on this diet. I couldn't eat, and I. Such a great, and this is all my stories. It's going to be all my stories in one book now.
So
I'll just
great.
Get these recording from you, and I'll just do this.
Yeah,
story
just
now
have someone. Yeah,
yeah, because this is a great story. So now I am. I was meeting my friend Karen to go to the movies.
Karen,
okay?
No.
Karen Condon, Condation, not Jewish.
No.
Wonderful actress, though. Wonderful actress, rose tattoo, everything. Anyway, so she meeting her, but I had. But I decided that I need to get an apple because I'm obsessively need to eat when I go to a movie theater.
Yeah.
So I go to this the supermarket in West Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard near my studio at the time, La Cienega. And I walk in and it was a big line. And I said, well, fuck it. I'm just going to take the apple because I'm late. And yes, Judy, I stole an apple. I walked out.
Murray, said, get on the phone.
Okay, go ahead.
I haven't even gotten to that part yet. I said, okay. And I get this, and I eat, and these two big black men, I'll say that for a reason later, said, come with us. Now, I'm not a person who steals, so I didn't really know that they didn't during those times in 1970, they did not have any cameras. They had a floor up on top.
Oh, yeah, where they could look down.
Where they could see.
Like they do with the casinos. Okay.
Yes, exactly. So I went up there crying. Please let me go. They said, can I look in your purse? Yes. Well, at that time I was a smoker, but I was sick at the time with pneumonia or whatever. And so I had a Tipperillo box that I was smoking. Tipperillo is the one weird thing. They opened up the box and there was a joint in there.
Oh God.
In 1970, a joint was a felony.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
So they called the cops in this nice Jewish area. It was completely Jewish. It's a Jewish area, right? All the Jewish altacacas, for those people that don't know what altacaca means, is old farts, old shits. All the Jewish altacacas were there as they came and arrested me and put me in handcuffs and put me in the cop car.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Right? You must have been freaking out.
I said, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the guy said,
Critical Parent come out during that time?
Fearful child. The fearful child. Freaking out. I said, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the guy says, shut up. He ain't going to help you. That was the cop. And I was put into jail. And I was there with all of these amazing prostitutes, because it was a prostitute show.
Right.
And they weren't scared. You know, they came in one at a time. One was you know, scary. You wouldn't want to be left alone with them. One was like really, really young. and my friend, I had my one phone call. My friend said, make your one phone call. And I called my friend because I know what to tell. And I said, I don't know what to do. Just make this as an acting experience. So I watched them. But they did a narco search. They searched every hole of my body. Because I was up for, I was up for something really bad. They put me in jail with this roommate that was a hard chick.
Right.
And I didn't know when I was going to get out.
How long?
I was scared out of my mind. Well, so I decided if I'm going to be here, at least I should interview this woman. So I said to her, do you mind if I ask you some questions? Prostitute said, yeah, what is it? I said, you know, I'm just curious because I'm an actress, what it would be like to be in the profession of prostitution. And she said, well, yeah, it's cool. I make a lot of money. I said, well, did anything bad ever happen to you? She said, well, I was walking down the street and some guy wanted me to do something to him. So I took my razor blade and slit him across the chest. I said, thank you. Good night. And to make a long story short, I did get out. Karen knew a judge, got me out. It was a very long story.
Wait, how long were you in the jail?
I was only in there for 20 hours.
Did you lay on the bed and shit? Or was there a bed?
I had my bed and she had hers. And then the other one had a bunk bed.
And did you ever tell your parents?
Later, not then. Much, much later.
Did you tell your sisters?
Much, much later.
Wow.
No, I didn't tell anybody. I was too full of shame.
Oh, of course. Wow. Full of shame. You got a lot of secrets. Okay. You decided that acting was too competitive. You wanted other people to succeed. Acting is so competitive and I want people to succeed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you opened the studio.
Uh-huh. 1986, I believe.
Yes. And you start this acting studio, which I'm so upset that I did not, when I lived in LA, did not go to. I went to, what's his name? Skinny, for auditioning. It was an audition class.
That's what mine was.
I know.
Skinny.
Skinny.
Oh, come on Jewish, down, that guy. That guy.
Jewish guy. Fuck. Okay. Steven, it began with an S. Okay. You end up coaching Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt and Michael Easton were both up for the same role in Thelma and Louise.
Correct.
And you coached Brad?
Both of them. Yeah. Well, what happened?
Or the same part. Yeah.
So it's a wonderful story because for all people that are listening, with all the fun we've had today, which we've had so much fun, you and I, everybody has something special. Right? It's my job to bring that specialness out. Whether you're an actor, whether you're just a regular human being, whether you're a person who does speeches, a corporate person, I'm there to help you bring out the beauty of yourself, right? And he came in, he was adorable. He had a twinkle in his eye. What was great about him is he made me feel special. And that's hard to do. Yeah.
I hope I'm accomplishing that. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I do. I feel the same way. And it was just a wonderful experience because he was very young. He hadn't done very much. I think he did some soap opera stuff. But when he was in my class, and then he got this audition. At the same time, this other guy who had been with me longer, Michael Easton, also got the same audition with Thelma and Louise. But Michael's essence, okay, was much darker than Brad's. So what all I had to do with Brad was to encourage him to bring out his playful child and help him to make the relationship the most important thing. With Michael, it was much different because his was letting go of his darkness.
Right.
And allowing himself to find that twinkle. Michael Easton ended up doing soap operas for many, many years because it was really kind of his thing.
Right.
And, you know, obviously Brad booked the series.
I remember seeing him in that
the film
and Louise and going, oh my God.
But doing that slice with him where he gets up on the bed and he's playing with his, and we're playing with the hairdryer. I mean, it's all because his willingness, like I say to all of you that are listening, it's about willingness. The willingness to jump out of your comfort zone for some people is a willingness just to raise their playful child.
All right. So you bring all this incredible stuff out of people. And I get it. I get the timing that you come out in your 30s.
Yeah.
And you've also been in therapy. I'm also Miss Therapy. I started when I was 18. Yeah. At my 50th birthday, the invitation said that we were celebrating 32 years of Judy being in therapy. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay. I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
So you come out, you realize you're a les, you go to Indonesia. And when you go to Indonesia to teach, you come out immediately. Like,
yeah,
it's you.
I did.
Like, you go to Indonesia and are like, hey, class, I'm a Jewish lesbian. Take care. You know, like,
that's it. That's it. That's right. Well, once I came out to my parents, it was a very challenging coming out. It was so challenging because I was with somebody, this woman, Pam, very attractive woman. I also only dated women that were straight because I didn't want to.
Oh, I did that. Yeah, that was a thing.
Long time.
That's
and
a big
Pam
thing.
Was my first lesbian, but she was very pretty. And so she didn't look like a lesbian. So I could therefore deal with it. Right. And of course, because I don't, quote, look like a lesbian, I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought there was something really sick. So it took a long time for me to accept this thing.
That's why representation is everything. And
yes, it is. It is. Yeah. That's why I came out immediately, because I want people to see that gay people can look like me.
Right.
They can be like me too. So I when I came out, I was living with this woman, Pam, for a few years, separate bedrooms, all that crap thing that you have to do. And I finally said, I have to what?
Because it just makes me think when my mother used to come visit, we had one room with a queen size bed and two alarm clocks and another room with a day bed and no alarm clock. And she'd be like, I don't want to kick Sharon out of her room. I'm like, you're not kicking Sharon out of her room. But Kate Clinton, the great Kate Clinton, had a joke about how we, before the parents came over, you had to straighten up the apartment. Quote unquote, straighten up.
Yes, yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, that is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Pam said to me, you know, you need to come out to your sisters. I was 34 years old. My sisters didn't know. I'm so close to my family. It would be different if you weren't close. I talk
right, but they
time.
Think you're someone else. They think you're someone
it's
else.
It's a horrible thing.
Yeah,
anybody
and people don't
Yeah, I mean, if anybody who's not gay, what I mean, this is what made me so. I think this is what's made me such a compassionate person because I understand the pain of that kind of secret.
Right.
So I went to Florida where my parents lived in my in Palm Beach, and I said to my sister Lois, you know, Joan wasn't there, but Lois was there. I said, let's go out and have, let's go out and I wanted to talk to her, right? Let's go out by ourselves, which we never did. We were always with our parents. So we went out and we're sitting there and I'm so nervous, Judy. I'm drinking scotch after scotch, smoking cigarettes, one scotch after smoking. I finally said, I just wanted to let you know. I couldn't say it. I'm bisexual. I couldn't even say it.
I did that too. That's the gateway. Yeah.
The gateway. So my sister said, I know. You know? Well, how'd you know, Mom? It's very obvious. You know, it's obvious. Well, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you want to say anything? Hard end in 10 minutes. Okay. So I said, okay. And what about Mom? Oh, they wanted me to find out from you tonight. I said, what? I'm not ready to tell them. Are you kidding me? So long story short, I came back in. I was so nervous. The next morning, I wake up. My sister brings me a cup of coffee, and I was a smoker at the time, anti-smoker now. And she said, "Mommy knows." It's my mother and my father, but it was always my mommy.
Right.
Mommy
same.
Knows.
And said, that's same.
Yeah,
said, and my kids
so
call
I
me mommy.
Out,
yeah, go ahead.
I walk outside, and my mother and father, and they're in a garden apartment, and it's right on a golf course, and neighbors can hear. And right. I go out and I go like this. I'm good. And my mother said, shh, the neighbors. and they said, come inside. So I walk inside. I'm crying. Oh my God. I'm crying. And he puts his, look at how wonderful this. My father, Murray, puts his arms around me and says, don't worry, darling. It's temporary. It's Hollywood. Is that the sweetest thing? And my mother says, Murray. Mary, I don't want to hear about your dames. Go out and play.
Your dames?
That's what we call it, my dames. So it was very trying.
Love that.
When I left there. We didn't talk for 3 weeks. No, I talked to my mother every day.
Same.
We didn't talk for 3 weeks. And then she calls me and says, I don't want to lose you. I have to learn to accept it. You're the most important person to me. So 3 months later, she came to the Municipal Election Committee of Los Angeles, who Pam was the head of, chair of. It was a big thing with all the gay guys in their tuxes, right? And all these handsome guys. My mother dressed in her, my mother was beautiful. She looked like Grace Kelly, Ginger Rogers. Dressed in her Grecian gown, walks in with these, you know, these handsome men, taking her to the table. And that was her first introduction. And after that, P flag was the most important thing. Everybody,
yes.
P flag helped my mother get
parents, friends of lesbians and gays.
And then when I ended up having my child, another story for whatever, and adopting my son when he was born, and I ended up having this relationship with this woman Barbara. We were very Jewish, Barbara. And Barbara and I were in the front seat. My mother was in the back. My father had passed 6 months passed after that time that I told my parents, but she remarried an incredible man, Artie. And she said, I can be at peace now knowing that you have such a wonderful partner. So, you know,
oh my God, I love that. You know, it's very similar to mine. I came out to my sister first in therapy, in her therapy session. She freaked out. She's going to kill me for saying this. And I was like 25. I don't even know how old I was. But then when I was 30, so I don't know, and my mother was helping me. She was here and it was confirmed. But you know, my sister didn't talk to me like for 3 weeks or so. She said, I need to mourn the person I thought you were. I was like, oh, whatever. And my mother never stopped talking. She said, I knew it. I knew it. And my father had also passed. And she's like, why didn't you tell your father? Because my father had asked me in a really sweet way. And I was just not ready. But it was interesting. I never felt unloved. I never felt unloved.
It's wonderful.
And that
really wonderful,
but it wasn't easy. Okay.
No.
Marjala, I could talk to you. I'm not kidding.
I know. Hours.
Okay. And I
days.
Really
would get our pajamas on. And
I know.
Do a 24 hour podcast.
Let's do it. Listen, I need you.
Wow.
When you come to New York, I am writing something and I'm having blockage. And okay. I really would love to talk to you about it because I think you can block me. Now, I always ask my podcast guests two questions, but I know we only have a few more minutes left. I just want to say my best friend of my whole life, my best friend died of ALS. Your friend Neil died of ALS.
Oh my God, what is happening with us?
And
this is freaky.
And I dedicated my book to him. And I read about your friend Neil and I was just like, oh my God, this woman and me. Okay. These are important things that I got from the book. Fear and control is our nemesis. Courage. You need to have the courage to fall in love with yourself. Worrying, negatory. Bring who you are to the life of the character. I think that is a sort of a recipe for life. Bring who you are to the life of the life, you know? Yeah. Everyone should read this fucking book.
Yeah, it's an amazing book.
And you call yourself, a behaviorist, which is so true. You are teaching people how to behave and like the noise and how the noise affects, and you can't have that. I remember during the AIDS crisis, someone saying, you know, you have to, and I would tell my friends with AIDS, you're bigger than this virus. You know, like you have to look at this virus as it's a thing, but you're bigger than the virus. And I feel like, you know, we are bigger and stronger than our horrible thoughts that are based in fear.
Yep. It's 120%. And it really is about also, Judy, it's about, my book is also, it's funny. And I out myself with
and
my
it's
therapist.
And it's so honest. And I can't believe we're not talking about Jody, who was your student in Indonesia. Rest in peace.
Just unbelievable. Yeah. It's a wonderful.
If
wonderful
I had a Patreon,
is,
but that would be the story that.
Yeah. I tell people, all your audience, when you get the book, you know, wherever, Amazon, whatever, take a colored pen. I know people don't like to mark up books, but if you saw my book, you would not believe how marked up. My book is completely marked up. Everything about my book is marked up because you too. Okay. Yeah. It has to be because there's so many things that remind me of myself and I go back so many times.
Right.
I go so many back times. I go, yeah, you know, this is happening now. I need to,
I'm showing you all the markups I have.
But that's why it's so important is to please everyone, get this book for yourself, then get it for somebody who you know is suffering and struggling to find their personal power. And do it with
it's
empathy,
such a great
curiosity,
book.
Love, and forgiveness. Forgive yourselves when you can't get right.
Okay, these are the two questions I ask my podcast guests. Number one is what you do for your mental health. Besides, I know you go to therapy. Yeah.
Well, I go to Al-Anon because my wife has fell off the wagon. So I do Al-Anon, big Al-Anon believer. And this book is very Al-Anon-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to therapy. But for to keep my own mental health, first of all, I've learned to breathe more. All right. I need to breathe more. And of course, I meditate more than I ever have. And then
Transcendental?
No, I used to do TM I do TM my whole life until recently mindful meditation.
I did mindful. I've been doing mindful for years. And then I called the TM guy, you know, the big TM guy.
Yep.
And he never got back to me. Like he was like, yeah, I'm going to get you a mantra, blah, blah, blah. And then
I used to do TM. So the other thing I do is I Georgie's not here because I closed the door, but Georgie, my Tibetan terrier, I hug him a lot. I spend time with my dog and just loving. He's got all the hair, no fur, just hair.
Right.
I love him. And then I take away, what I also do that helps me a lot is put my attention on helping a person in front of me. Then all my other shit goes away.
Right. It's amazing. Okay. Yep. Now the podcast is called Kill Me Now because I get aggravated about, I am my mother's daughter and everything fucking drives me up a wall. What makes you so fucking angry? Like, it could be anything. It could be the smallest thing.
Oh, it's hard. The orange roach has made me insanely angry.
Oh, motherfucking piece
of shit. And I call him an orange roach. And so what's happened to me is I think that because of him, I think the thing that makes me the most angry is the lack of kindness that goes on in our world. And because because he has driven the world down this horrible hole, I have no patience for it. And I've had to stop myself so many times from disconnecting with people that say anything nice about him. So I think
Done with that. Yeah, there's no defending.
Very, very hard. Very hard.
And he brought out shit in me that I didn't know.
The rage
and anger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So
and hate.
Well, yeah. So to really letting go, I had to learn to let go.
Yeah.
And just really be kind. And the kindness to me is like the big thing to just and look at my truth of myself.
Right.
And that's been, what was the question? I forgot the question.
What pisses you off more than anything in the
world?
What
pisses me off. Yeah. So that's what pisses me off is the lack of kindness and people being so narcissistic.
Oh, I can't.
Narcissism bothers me.
It's so annoying. It's just so hard to be around. Marjola.
Yeah. Marjola. Judy. Judula.
Thank you, Marjola.
It's been a wonderful, I had so much fun.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Margie Haber. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help. I don't know. I don't like that line. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond, who's married to a Jew. Because it's really my life wouldn't be possible. So it's not right. No, I got to change that line. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. Thank you to Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond for everything she fucking does. Okay, now I'll figure something else out. Listen, please subscribe and leave a review. I just want to tell you something, okay? Now, I am going to mention someone who listened to the end, but I did get some people writing to me like, oh, I listened to the end of Al Franken. And it's like, no, you have to listen to the end of more than one. Do you know what I mean? But I did get this amazing, I guess it was a DM or something, and someone sent me the review they left, which was so lovely, okay? And I'm just so thrilled that someone actually, listen, I posted a review, I need you to see it. This is from Robert Hanlon, okay? I love you, Robert. Brilliant and wonderful voice. I long to see this person live someday. I have tweeted her to tell her I listen to the very end of every podcast. No guilt inferred unless you want that. And nothing. I expect she's busy. Oh, I didn't even know this was negative. I expect she is busy, which is what I hope for. I love the Somebody Feed Phil New York episode. A lot of bells for that one. So I can see her close to live. If I ever win a lottery, I'm going to see her live and hopefully take her for a great matzo soup. No, it's matzo ball soup, Robert. Okay, I love you, but it's matzo ball soup. And lunch. Okay, let's do it. Thank you. I love you. He's a podcast addict. Robert Hanlon, you are getting a huge shout out because you did what I ask everyone to do, which is subscribe and leave a review because it helps more people find the podcast. And I can sort of make ad revenue, which is not working. So, it's very helpful. So thank you to Robert Hanlon, who we're not getting matzo soup because that would be boring. That would be like matzo with fucking chicken stock on it. Okay? No. We're getting a matzo ball soup. It's a whole other thing. So, do-do-do-do-do. Anyway, that's it. So please come to my shows. I am in Florida, as you know. the December 14 and 15. 15, I'm at the Boca Black Box in Boca Raton, Florida. I'm in Sellersville, Pennsylvania, January 21st. January 26th through 28th, the Comedy Loft of D.C., Washington, D.C., and February 4th, Avenel Performing Arts Center in Avenel, New Jersey. I have a new off-Broadway show that will be coming out very soon. I'm going to do the announcement next week. And that's it. I don't know what else to tell you. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. You are all I love you. I just love you. Tell everyone about the show. Follow me on Twitter. I don't know about Twitter. I mean, follow me, but I keep losing followers and I hate Elon Musk. Instagram. I'm still there at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, because I'm Jewish and I'm proud and I'm going to keep calling myself Judy. And you can all go fuck yourselves if you're an anti-Semite. Go fuck yourself. Live without all the contributions Jews have made to the world and see how great your life is. And if you hate gays, do the same thing. Live without all the contributions. If you hate black people, live with all the contributions. Your life will be shit. Shit. If you hate Asians, same thing. If you hate Latinx, go have fun. Go have fun living your white, boring, fucking mayonnaise, white bread bullshit. Anyway, so I just wanted to end on a positive note. But yeah, check and go to my website, judygold.com, all upcoming virtual and live events. And I just so you know, I started doing more shooting the shit in the bathroom. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.